Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hello, everybody. Life in the desert. Church, I want you just to turn to someone right now, everybody, from Avalon to Silverwater, Oxford Falls, come on, North Sydney, Hornsby. Everybody, I want you to turn to someone and say, life in the desert. Just tell them, life in the desert. Oh, I love that sound. I love that sound. It's a beautiful sound. Yeah. Tell them. Life in the desert. Hey, if you're a guest today, come back, everybody. Yeah, come back now. Come on. Come back to me. We want to say to all our guests a huge welcome. Come on, everybody. On behalf of the C3 SYD, we want to say a massive welcome if you're a guest today. We're not here to judge your journey. We're here to celebrate your steps. We're so glad that you're joining us today. Can you put your hands together? Come on, everybody, every location. You came on a great day if you're a guest. We're so glad to have you. Welcome to June. And we are starting what we call a campaign, which is called Life in the Desert. And so we're going to be unpacking this over the next 4 weeks. We do this because we are one church across the city. We are C3 SYD everywhere that we are. And so we launch our new campaign together so that we're on the same page, same heart, one family moving together to reach this city. And here's what I want to read to you as we talk about life in the desert. Isaiah 43:5, it's the banner over this year. It says, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. And I want to tell you a little story. The other day, my house got flooded. And so that was really fun. We woke up on Friday night. There had been a lot of rain for a few days. And when I say we, I mean I, woke up at 3:30 a.m. And Jessen was sleeping and Oakland was sleeping. And I don't even know why I woke up. We were all just asleep, but I just happened to wake up and walked out into the living room and into the kitchen, and there was this much water full of dirt all through the living room. And so I got out my Crocs, which are fashionable and also really good when you're flooding. And so I got my Crocs, I got a mop, and I mopped. I woke up Jessen, she got up, we started mopping the floor. It took us 8 hours to mop out all this water. I called my hero, my dad. I said, Dad, could you help me? We fixed the problem. We found there was a pipe that had been full of dirt, and it flooded and came through the kitchen. But actually what we found out, the real problem was that up on a top level in our house that's under renovation, it's going to be awesome in 2030 when it's done. But we were renovating, and so we had dug out this big area of dirt that had become like a catchment for all the rain. We didn't think about this, but boom, there was a pool of water at the top of our land, and that had actually been trickling down under the house. So Dad and I, we went up there and we created a river. We actually had to create a stream so that the water would flow out of the catchment and down into the proper drainage. So we were digging out the dirt, throwing rocks out of the way, just getting amongst it. And what we found is as the water got moving, the more the water was flowing, the more we had to remove obstacles. So when the water was just sitting there, we couldn't actually see the obstacles that were stopping the flow. But when we got some flow going, when it was moving, we actually could see more and more the blockages. So we were, as it was flowing, we were digging out more things. And what we had to do is we had to get dirt that was in the stream. We had to take it out and put it on the riverbank. The more the water flowed, the stronger the banks had to be to facilitate the flow of water. And here's what I want you to catch today, everybody, is there is meant to be a flow of water in and through our lives. This is what it means to prepare the way for the Lord, for there to be streams, for there to be life in the desert, There must be a flow. There must be a stream flowing from God to us out of our lives. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to turn to Isaiah 43:18-19. Look at this. Let's look at this scripture together. It says, I'm making a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland. Making a way in the wilderness, streams. And this is what we're going to focus on today. The streams of living water that are meant to flow in us, through us, out to the world. That's what we're talking about. Life in the desert. The world we live in is like a desert. Everybody, the world we live in is like a desert. And it's full of mirages, full of things that look like water, but when you actually get to them, they turn out to be empty. They turn out to be dry, just more dry land. And people are drinking from what looks like a well that actually just ends up leading people to further dehydration, further desperation in their soul, never having their thirst quenched. But we believe God, by the Spirit of God, we are to carry life into the desert. That there should be a flow of life that goes out into the wilderness, out into the wasteland, out into the world through us. The wilderness in the Bible denotes everything painful, everything trying, everything that's got misery, the misery of the fallen world biblically, whether it was the Israelites being bitten by poisonous serpents or thirsting from lack of water. These served as reminders of sin and misery that Adam brought into the world. The Israelites' wilderness wandering also proved to be a painful reminder of the sinfulness of the human heart. While there was a shortage of water in the wilderness, there was no shortage of sin. You know, the Israelites in the wilderness, there was so much idolatry and debauchery and all things. And it manifested itself over 40 years that the old covenant church, the old covenant people of God, were wandering through barren wilderness of Sinai and Paran. We read about in Numbers 10:12. And the promise Isaiah is speaking about is the promise of Jesus. The streams in the desert that Isaiah is speaking about, he is speaking about Jesus. Jesus is the stream of living water. John 7:37-38 says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture said, out of his heart will flow. Everyone say flow. Come on, everyone say flow. Flow rivers of living water. Let's look at that scripture together. Look at this. Jesus said, anyone, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. If anyone, look at that word, anyone. So the qualification for this invitation to come to Jesus is thirst. The distinction of who is being invited to come and drink is anyone who is thirsty. Anyone who is thirsty. Not a certain type of person, not a certain group of people. Anyone who is thirsty, that is the qualification for being invited to come and drink of the living water that Jesus has to give. And this is really important, everybody, because this is directed at the heart that recognizes it is thirsty. The invitation is only to those who recognize that they are thirsty. Isaiah said it like this in chapter 41:17-20 said, the poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. Whoever recognizes that they are thirsty are invited to come and drink. And here's what you need to understand, everybody. Jesus came for the thirsty. Jesus came for the poor in spirit. Jesus came to heal the sick. Luke 5, 31 to 32 NLV, it says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Church, we never despise anyone who is thirsty. The world is a desert. So we never despise, judge, criticize people for being thirsty. We never look down our nose at anyone who's desperate, who's thirsty, who's crying out, who's a little undignified. We don't get funny about that. We don't judge that. We never look down at people. And when we do, if there's a lack of thirst, it may be that it's actually pride. It's pride masked as godliness sometimes. Like I'm good. I'm fine. I've got everything I need. I will look after myself. I don't need help. I've got it. I'm good. And we often, sometimes, will not show our real need or show our real thirst for God out of a form of godliness, but actually it's a lack of humility. I want to encourage us. God loves thirsty people. God is not pushing thirsty people away. God does not want you to hide your thirst or pretend like you don't have thirst or to think that you are the source of quenching your thirst. You're not God. The world says, hey, you know, on your own, you're enough. The world says you have all you need within yourself. Go read a self-help book section in any store, any library. It's going to be how you have everything you need. But I got to tell you, that's actually not the gospel. It's not true in the kingdom. You actually don't have everything you need within yourself. You actually are not fine on your own. We are broken. We are thirsty. We are in need. We are desperate. And the quenching of this thirst can only happen from outside of us. It doesn't come from within us. It comes from Jesus Christ. He lives in us, but he is the source of living water. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We know the woman of the well in John 4 was a woman who was thirsty, thirsty in every modern day sense of the word, thirsty, 5 husbands, 6th boyfriend, looking for satisfaction, looking to have this need and desire and thirst in her soul for love to be fulfilled. She'd tried other wells, but then she found Jesus Christ, who is the well. Jesus was drawn and he draws the thirsty to himself. We know Zacchaeus, short guy, in Luke 19, climbed a sycamore tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. Hungry, searching, looking, seeking, trying to find. We know the blind man in Luke 18 cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. The disciples told him to shut up and he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Listen, everybody, here's what I want you to catch. Jesus is drawn to and draws in those who are thirsty. Isaiah 35, 6 to 7 says, for waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Life in the desert, streams in the desert. The burning sand, which is literally a mirage. Have a look. You know a mirage? This is what a mirage looks like. You see that? It's a mirage. It presents with promise, but in fact, it's empty. And so Isaiah says that the burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. Isaiah 35:1-7 speaks of the day when the desert and the parched land will be glad, when the glory of God and the splendor of God comes, when the burning sand, the mirage, becomes a real source of water. What is this promise speaking about? Isaiah is prophesying the coming of Jesus and the promise that a life who receives Christ will receive living water. Look again at John 7:37-38. Look again. If anyone thirsts, if anyone thirsts, we don't look down at thirsty people. We desire, I pray that you're a thirsty person, just so you go to the right well. Let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as we've said, out of his heart, will flow rivers of living water. This is really important. There are those who are yet to have their thirst quenched by God through faith. There are those who are yet to receive Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit. And we want the river of God to flow to them. There are those of us who have received living water by our faith in Jesus Christ. We've received the Holy Spirit. And here's what I want to say to all of us who know Christ. Come on, everywhere, every location, all of us who know Christ. Here's what I want to say. Keep drinking. Keep drinking. When we stop drinking, we drift. When we stop drinking, we drift. When we stop going to the source of living water, we drift away from God and we find ourselves drinking from a mirage, drinking from the world's way of quenching thirst. Hey, listen. We don't want to be the kind of people who know Jesus but are drinking from a different well. If you know Jesus, keep drinking. Keep coming to Christ. Keep letting him satisfy your soul. Go on, everybody. Keep coming to Christ. Keep crying out to him. Keep drawing near to God. Paul said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And this is really important because Paul, when he was writing this to the Ephesian church, he was saying to a church, don't go to wine, go to the Holy Spirit. And this is really important. You can be a Christian, you can know Christ, but be going to the means the world gives to find freedom, to find relief, to find comfort. It's so important that we don't just know about God, but we know him personally, and that we don't end up going to a quick fix for what actually God desires to give to us. Keep drinking. Are you dry on the inside? Are you worn out? And you know God, you follow God, but you're worn out on the inside. You need to go back to drinking from the well. Don't just tell other people to go there. You need to go there. You need to get that scripture, get that passion back for God's word in your heart. I've been reading through the book of Psalms and just studying the book of Psalms and just dwelling in the book of Psalms, and God is filling my cup on a personal level. I preach regularly, you know this. I'm not getting a message from Psalms. I'm just getting the Psalms for me. Learn to drink. Keep drinking. Hear me today. Keep drinking from the spirit of liberty, freedom. Don't turn to alcohol. Don't turn to Netflix. Don't turn to the means of the world to get freedom and comfort, solace for your soul, relief. Come to Jesus. Keep coming. Keep drinking. If you haven't had enough, get more. If you want more, come and get it. Don't complain. Come and get more. You think God has dried up on enough peace, enough joy, for you? Never. Come and get more. Come and drink. Here's what I want you to see as we come to a close. If anyone thirsts, John 7, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Okay, everybody. So I have a garden hose. Anyone like gardening? Come on, put your hand up if you like gardening. You like gardening? I love a bit of gardening. I've Jessen and I are learning to become gardeners out of necessity, but now it's becoming a joy most of the time. So we have a garden hose here, and this garden hose has an end that is the connector end. You connect this end of the hose into the tap, and you use this end of the hose to administer the flow of water. So this end is where the water is released. It's where I, you know, spray the plants. It's where I spray Oakland. It's where I do whatever. This is the end where the water flows from, and it's released here. This is where the water is received. This end connects to the tap, and this is where the water is flowing from. It is no good to have this end without this end connected. It is no good to be out there trying to hose the garden if it is not connected to the source of water. Church, I want to remind you, don't get fooled. The output of your life is a result of the input. If there's no input, don't get angry at the output when it stops flowing. Go back to the input. Go back to the source of living water. Amen, everybody. Stay connected. But there is designed to be an inflow and an outflow. There's designed to be a drinking, a receiving, and a giving, a letting go, a flowing out of what is flowing in. And this is really important, everybody. When there is a flow in, there will be a flow out. And here's what is amazing. When you find the well of living water, who is Jesus Christ, he fills you with that living water and it flows out of your life. You become a well. When you find the well, you become like a well that brings streams of living water into the world around us. Look at the woman at the well. When she met Jesus and she's had the revelation of who he is, she's tasted and seen that God is good. She goes to Samaria, to her town. She brings the whole town out to meet Jesus. She bears witness about who Jesus is. We read about later in the book of Acts and that a revival had begun in Samaria and spread to the whole region. That now Philip was looking after the churches that were being established in the region. Look what Acts 1 verse 8, it says, "But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, the city, and all Judea and Samaria, the nation, and the ends of the earth, the globe." Here's the thing. When you're filled with the living water, it's not just for you. It's so you can be a witness. It's so that it can flow through your life, so that it can go out into the desert, out into the dry place. And this is what God is calling us to be as a church, that we're not just here playing in the stream among ourselves, just having fun in the streams of living water. We're actually here to take that stream and carry it everywhere we go, into our schools, universities, workplaces, homes, to our neighbors, that we would bring streams of living water. I'm praying that there would be a stream of living water flowing to our neighbors in Bilgola Plateau. I just believe that God is setting Jessen and I up to bring that living water. And here's the thing, everybody. People are living in a wasteland, living in the world, living in the desert, living in the desolate place, going from mirage to mirage. Here's the thing. If they don't find the living water, the wilderness leads to death. Heaven and hell are real, everybody. Eternal separation from God is real. And we have the living water. We have the answer. And so we are called to bring it, to carry it, to take it to the desert, that there would be life in the desert. And that's what we're going to unpack over these next weeks in the month of June. What does it look like to carry the stream, the living water, to bring life into the desert in Jesus' mighty name? Worship team, I'm going to hand over to you. Come up if you haven't already. And everybody, we love you so much. We're going to have an amazing month. God bless. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.